Welcome to Lake Flashback. Reporter Sarah Simpson has been combing through old newspapers with the assistance of the Katsa Station Museum and Archives so we can jog your memory, give you that nostalgic feeling, or just a chuckle, as we take a look at what was making headlines this week around Cowichan Lake in years gone by. Carrot. This week around the Cowichan Lake area. 10 years ago, Scouts Camp Woodlands, the target of vandalism, was the top story on the front of the Lake Cowichan Gazette of June 24, 2015. Camp Woodland's rustic atmosphere and prime location on the northern arm of Cowichan Lake has attracted scout groups from across Vancouver Island to the camp for decades. Earlier this month, however, Camp Woodlands also attracted a spurt of vandalism. According to Camp Chairperson Arnold May, a scouts group from Cedar discovered the vandalism on the afternoon of June 12 when they arrived at Camp Woodlands for a weekend excursion. The camp was strewn with empty and smashed liquor bottles, and several wooden poles, used for building shelters, were burnt or missing. The group spent the afternoon cleaning up the mess before setting up camp. CVRD promoting the new normal of water conditions was a secondary headline. It's not a secret that this year's hot, dry summer, coupled with the lack of snowpack, has led to an increasingly troubling situation for the Cowichan Lake and other water sources across the valley. Now the Cowichan Valley Regional District, CVRD, is undertaking a campaign with the purpose of adapting residents of the watershed to what they call the new normal for water conditions. While Lake Cowichan and the Cowichan Valley have seen especially pervasive drought conditions this year, elevated by the rare lack of snowpack on the mountain, Kate Miller, manager of environmental initiatives at the CVRD, is adamant that these conditions are nothing new and are far from disappearing. 25 years ago, the Lake Cowichan Gazette of June 28, 2000 reported, "No strike yet as talks continuing," on the front page. Though they were in a legal situation to strike on Monday, negotiations between the IWA and forest companies has kept coastal loggers and sawmill workers on the job. Talks continued and a few concessions were made to keep workers on the job Monday. "It was a crucial day," says Carmen Rocco, IWA Local 1-80's first vice president. "They're talking. Industry made some significant moves and a number of concessions on items on the table." Rocco says industry dropped their demand that employees work more hours per year before they were eligible for holidays. "They've made a few moves," he says. "If things break down, then we're back to the mood of impending strike action. At the present time, they're negotiating and that's good." In other news of the day, standing in line for sizzling summer was a secondary headline. First in line for Community Services' sizzling summer program lineup last Monday was Mona Fletcher, who arrived at 2 p.m. for the 6 p.m. start. "I was determined to get the kids in the activities that they wanted this year," says Fletcher. Fletcher and daughter Jessica headed the long lineup of parents on hand to sign their kids up for the popular summer activities program. This year's highlights include a whale-watching expedition, wall climbing, and a kayak trip. Some spaces are still available for a variety of events. 40 years ago, Loggers Back in Woods was a big story on the front of the Lake News of June 26, 1985. Loggers working in the woods around the Cowichan Lake District were all back at work Tuesday, following a brief layoff due to the recent hot weather. CIP Forest Products and EC Forest Products, Renfrew and KQ's divisions, all said Tuesday that their full crews were on the job again. CIP returned to the woods Monday and BCFP Tuesday. The layoff due to the heat was the first of the 1985 dry season, and although workers are back on the job, continued periods without rain may cause further layoffs, according to Renfrew Superintendent Bob Murrant. "We're hoping to finish out the week anyway," he said. Renfrew did not get any of Sunday's heavy rain. And finally, "To Swim for Hospital" was a top headline on the front of the Lake News of June 26, 1985. "What does a chairman do when he's not chairing? Why, he swims, of course." Phil Moody, chairman of the new Cowichan District Hospital Foundation, is going to swim as far as Victoria and then, oh well, isn't that far enough? Mr. Moody's plan was unveiled at a meeting at the hospital last week, and he invited you to sponsor the swim. Moody, who swims for his health anyway, admitted that all his swimming would be done in the pool at Duncan. But he was serious about the sponsorship and had a sponsor sheet with him to prove it. The foundation, established after a 2-year organizational period, will be strictly a fundraising body designed to upgrade the admittedly aging facilities of the hospital, which serves 50,000 people around Duncan, including Lake Cowichan and its environs. The first project of the foundation is to raise $250,000 to update the coronary care unit, which has an 80% to 100% occupancy rate, serving primarily those who have had heart attacks. The money will be raised before the end of the year, promised Moody. Over the last 4 years, only about $50,000 has been raised from private donors annually, far too little for the large area served by the hospital. Moody and hospital administrator, now called Chief Executive Officer, Dave McDowell, and several doctors who spoke all agreed that the unit urgently needs upgrading. Developments in medicine are rapid, and the unit can no longer give the best up-to-date service with its aging equipment.